Good morning. Nice to see you all this morning. It's our organ day today, Organ Sunday, and Ron will be leading us in our worship. And I have to give you a warning before we get started that between the first two, there is no break. So don't even attempt to regain your seat. Just take a big breath, because we're going straight into the one that will follow it. Anyway, a few things just to remind people of. We move closer to Easter, our focal Easter celebration. A couple of weeks, it's Palm Sunday, and Peter will be here leading worship there, and I'll be up at Coalside. On the Thursday of that week following, in Holy Week, there will be a service at Coalside at 7 to mark Maundy Thursday and share communion. Friday will be here at 7 for Good Friday, and then Sunday as normal. So that's what's planned at the moment anyway. We'll see if we hope everything will run to plan, but we'll leave it in God's hands. I'm not aware of any other notices to bring to your attention that I'm aware of. Nope. Nothing. Okay. But I hear somebody. Mother's Day. There's always something I forget. How could I forget Mother's Day? Yes, we express our deep appreciation for all the mothers in the congregation. Whether that's mothers natural or adopted. Because we have a lot of people who fulfill mothering roles to other people within the congregation. So we remember and give thanks for all the mums of all ages that have been a part of our lives and still are. So we give thanks to God for them. Let's pray. Father God, as we come bringing our worship, we pray that our hearts would be as open as our mouths, our minds would be as open as our lips. Receive the praises we share. Receive all that we give within this act of service. Receive our fellowship and build us closer together as a family in Christ. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first two items of worship is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, going straight into give me oil in my lamp, omitting verse 3.
Thank you.
Well, hello. It's a delight to be here. I'm so full of joy. What does joy look like? What does joy look like? If you're imagining someone being joyful in your head, what would it look like?
Cheerful?
Smiling?
Infectious?
Infectious? Laughing? Smiling? I kind of think of it more like that, kind of an explosion of energy and happiness and delight. Unfortunately, within the Church of Scotland, it often looks more like that. For those who are too young to know who that is, that's Ricky Fulton, who used to do this sketch with Reverend I Am Jolly, which usually at his end of year address on Scotch and Rye would start off, "It's been a hell of a year." And it would go downhill from there. So we do have these two contrasting images. Now we know that Ricky's character was a caricature, but unfortunately, most caricatures, to be effective, must have an element of truth within them. Now, I want you to be honest, kind, but honest. How many of you know a minister like the one that Ricky portrayed? Yes, we've all seen them. We've all gone into the service and came out thinking, whoa. Why? We don't know. But that's just their persona. And yet joy is something, is a feeling, is an emotion that we are all meant to be able to share. There was a recent film, Inside Out, of which that is just a caption. Anybody seen it? If you've had grandchildren or children who might have seen it, or you just love Disney and animation, you might have seen it anyway. But joy is a character. Joy is the yellow one with the blue hair, who's, for some reason, upside down. But why not? But what they tried to do was portray or give a character to these different emotions. I had a great affinity with anger, which is a bit of a worry, because anger would quite literally blow his top when he got angry, and this flame would burst from his head. Fear would be quivering and very timid, and sadness would just make everything turn blue. And they've kind of trying to help children understand their emotions. But I wonder if we really understand joy the way that we should. Why are you gone off? What have I pressed? Switch it off. And on again. That great technical solution to everything. There we go. Joy should be part of our experience within our faith. We should all feel more like give me sunshine. Not every day, not sort of dancing around with fake happiness. But joy should be a sense of what we have in our relationship with God. Because true joy, as someone said, only in God we find true, solid joy. A joy that overcomes, that gives us strength, that gives us all that we need for each day when the days are not filled with joy. And that's what we are going to be exploring today within our service. And as a way of contrast, I have put on this tie. For those of you who have seen it close up, it's Grumpy from the Seven Dwarfs. I like a bit of contrast within what we're looking at. Often I feel a bit more like Grumpy than Joy, but that's just me. But we are reminded that we should be rejoice, have joy in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. So there is a scriptural imperative to rejoice, have joy in God. And that's what we're going to consider today.
From Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen.
What is joy? Can be something quite challenging to define because it's a very subjective experience. Others may not share what brings me joy as being something joyful. Today, there are many joyful Irishmen and many sad Englishmen. Same game, different results bring out a different feeling. There are many disappointed Scots as well, but that's another matter. We have learned to live with that. But we're not thinking about joy that is a response to a stimulus, laughter or humor. Today we want to think about real joy, a God-given and God-sustained joy, the joy that we should all share. I wonder if we were to list half a dozen adjectives to describe God. I wonder if joyful would be one of them. In the Old Testament, we encounter a joyful God. And you might be thinking, where? Well, he's so often described as one who is delighting in his people, taking pleasure in his people, being moved to joy in his creation. Whatever else God is, part of it is he is joyful. And it can be hard to understand that sometimes when we enter some churches. We can often feel constrained, serious, stiff, on our best behavior, that we suppress the joy of our faith. There is now an older film, Dogma, if any of you have seen it. One of the characters says to another, You don't celebrate your faith, you mourn it. This work of God in us to bring us life and hope is something to be celebrated and rejoiced in, not stifled and subdued. And I'm not advocating a flippant humor or inappropriate laughter or silliness. But to rejoice is to express the joy within us of our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Apostle Paul, who's often given a hard time and portrayed as legalistic, rule-centered, but his writings, when you read them all through, the word joy, or its derivative, crops up 135 times. And yet this apostle, who we often describe as the apostle of grace, only mentions grace 88 times. So if anything, Paul statistically is the apostle of joy. But I think we might need to get a better handle on what kind of joy he is talking about, so that we can get to grips with it. Christ is joy. The angels proclaimed it to the world. We sing it. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. In Luke 2, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The entry of Christ into the world is the entry of divine joy into the world. So for the Christians who believe through faith that Christ lives in them, brings them real and full life, it must also mean that we have within us joy, real joy, at the very core of our being. This divine joy is a complete satisfaction in God, a full contentment that our souls are home and at rest. The worries and anxieties of life are as nothing to Christ in us, and that is the source of our joy. And this joy is a byproduct of love. Think for a moment when someone first told you that they loved you, whether it's a child or your partner. Didn't your heart soar? Didn't you feel that within you, the joy of what you heard? The love of God, rooted and grounded in us, should and indeed must cause our hearts to soar at the expressed love that God has for each one of us. If worship is the turning of our attention and heart towards God, our joy in his love for us lifts us into his eternal presence. And in that moment, we dwell both one foot on earth and one foot in glory. This joy in God's love is that sense of complete satisfaction, complete contentment, complete security that this love is never going anywhere else. It will never be removed from us. The declaration of the love of others for us can change. It can be rescinded. God's love can't, won't. His love is eternal and strong. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let your joy in God come out. Our joy should be an active thing. Our joyful contentment and confidence in God should draw us into prayer. Even in the hardest moments of our life and in their turbulence, we will still find His peace. Paul gives two bits of advice in cultivating a joyful and sustaining faith. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. So the battle for our heart and our life begins here in our mind. For those who have lived with criticism and condemnation for much of their lives, it's hard to put that into practice. Because when God says your word, that all you hear is all the voices who've told you you're not. For the voice of God who says you can do this, all you hear is the echo of all those voices who have told you you can't. And it's hard to reprogram that voice. Or voices. It's hard to tape over them. And we can only do that if we really focus and choose to listen to God's voice for us and not the echoes of the past, to reprogram how we think. We rely on the grace of God to enable us, to change us, gradually our thought patterns. They too are renewed, and our life with it. So when we have this heart desire, this heart yearning and zeal to live for Christ, and yet we fail and fall repeatedly, we have to consider why. Is it because in here there's something that's disconnected from here that we need to work on, that we need to reprogram, so we allow the truth of what we read and what we believe in our heart to fill our heads? Secondly, St. Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So our faith is an active thing. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just words for the mind. It's a faith for the heart, the soul, the spirit, and the body. All that we are and all we are called to live. And that's the gospel. We're not invited just to think about it. It's not even enough to know it. We need to live it and experience it in us. And in so doing, uncover the joy of living as Christ's. But that's hard. I think everybody finds that hard. And yet Paul lets us into a secret. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Christ alone is all we need. Having Him, we have all we truly need. And from Him flows strength and mercy and grace and love and a joy that is unshakable that is so deeply rooted within us, unquenchable. So much so that we can say with Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy that is the warmth of God's loving attention focused on each one of us. When people encounter us, do they encounter a joyful, celebrating people of the living God? If not, we need to let the joy out and let it breathe and let it find its fullness of expression. Then others will come and taste and see that God is good and seek Him for themselves. And that brings joy in heaven. Jesus said, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Our God is a God of joy, and we are to be a people joyfully rejoicing in Him. Yes? Oh, we're not sure. Oh, we're going to be a bit restrained here. We're all going to go, yes. We are going to joyfully rejoice in Him. Yes?
Yes.
It's hard, isn't it, to let it out. We need to let the joy out. Let it breathe. Let it play. Rediscover what it's like to have the joy of a child in the simple and everyday things of life. You want to know what joy is? We'll introduce you to one of our granddaughters, Izzy. Izzy is just a bundle of joy. She wakes up in the morning with a great big smile on her face, to which my usual response is, Izzy, be quiet, please. Turn down your brightness. Because she's just as full of life and joy. So let the life of Christ that brings us fullness of life, life in all completeness, let it fill you with the joy that it brings, and let it overflow. Let it infect the world. Let it infuse all the places you go. And you never know, you might cause rejoicing and glory. Can we take a moment in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you are a God who delights in us. Even when we get it wrong, even when we make mistakes, your love is never taken from us. Your joy in us is never diminished or withheld. Teach us how to hold your love deep within us and the joy that it brings, and let it fill and flood our lives, so that in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are, we reflect your love, your joy, your life into the world around us. This we ask in Jesus' name.